sermon. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. This is a very familiar passage for us. But as I read this, as you maybe read it to yourself from off of the overhead, think about what God might be saying to you, wanting you to understand more. An explanation for the start of this passage says, in the sixth month, the sixth month is referring to the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth with John the Baptist. So that's the context. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, that is, the angel came to her, and the angel said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered, what sort of greeting was this? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I am a virgin." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And even now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Good morning, Whitmer Heights. Thank you, Chris, for reading that scripture for us this morning and for leading us in a call to worship. Shelby for the music, Eileen for the children's time and for the candle lighting, Mia and Rebecca. One of the things I'm realizing when there is a worship service to put together, it takes a lot of friends to help to do it. And there's so many people here at Whitmer Heights that use their gifts to allow us to worship together each Sunday morning. We are in this season of Advent, and we're going through, "Oh, that you would reveal yourself to us, O God." And each Sunday we're looking at a different theme that we're asking God to reveal. And I said in the first week, about a month ago, that sometimes I think the sermon gets too much attention because it's all a lot of rational head knowledge. And sometimes we need to be paying attention to how God is speaking to us through the other senses, whether that's the worship arts or smell, if we could smell the candles and the incense, or touch. How is God revealing himself through these other senses? And it's been a so great to have Velma's artwork each Sunday that shows us the theme. And so I'm grateful for an awareness of the different senses this Advent season of how we can experience God. This morning we ask, oh, that you would reveal your love to us, oh God. And as I was thinking about how God is revealing his love, I thought of a number of different ways. One of the ways that God reveals his love to us is through the scriptures. We have a gift here in the Bible of being able to read a salvation history story. We read of God's love in this book. Another way that God is revealing his love to us is through the Word made flesh, Jesus. And that is what we celebrate this Christmas season. And then another way that God reveals his love to us is through us, the church, Christ's body. And so I was thinking about which one of those to focus on. And it was the body that has been catching my attention. Advent is all about our bodies. Now, probably that's not the first thing that you think about. And maybe it's a little odd for me to start there. But that's what I really think God is speaking to me this morning and to us this morning. That maybe we need to start paying attention to our bodies. Christ, the Lord Jesus, came to us in a body. And we need to pay attention to that. Bodies are amazing things. Just pay as through this sermon and the rest of this service, just pay attention to your body and maybe hold your hands together or pay attention to how you're feeling in your body. Maybe if you have an achy, sore muscle, pay attention to that. Maybe your neck's aching a little bit, or maybe you're just feeling a lot of energy this morning. Pay attention to that this morning. I went for an 8-mile run yesterday and saw Merle riding bike. That was pretty cool in the city. And then I saw Velma walking downtown. So I should just keep running and I'll just see everybody in the church. But one of the things that I'm aware of is after a cold run, my knees hurt a lot. I had a torn ACL my first year of college at Heston. And they did a great repair. But one of the things now is whenever I go for a long run, especially when it's cold, my knee just aches. It hurts. And I pay attention to that. It captures me. I can't forget it until it starts to warm up again and it gets better. I'm also aware that someone said if you hike the Appalachian Trail, it takes 5 years of good walking away later in your life. So I'm not quite sure about that. I haven't experienced it yet, but... I was paying attention to my body this week. And I think that God is revealing his love to me through my body. Now, some of us might be asking, okay, so how are you going to connect that with this Luke text? Well, stay with me here. Let's think about, I don't know, Chris made a good point. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying as you read this text this morning. And I think that the Holy Spirit can be pulling out a number of different things as we read this text. So I'm going to consider three different points real briefly, and then we'll think about how this can relate to our bodies as well. One of the first things that I thought about with a text like this is all about Mary. This text is talking about how the angel comes to Mary and says, "You will carry the Messiah." But sometimes I get a little bit distracted with Mary because I think as Mennonites, and at least for myself, we don't always know what to do with Mary. We're aware that in the Catholic tradition, Mary is exalted very high. In fact, in certain times and places, she has been exalted to a status almost approaching that of deity, such that some medieval theologians even began to speak of a quaternity rather than a trinity. In sharp distinction, though, to that, Protestants have sometimes tended to ignore Mary's role in the drama of salvation history. In America today, there are lots of Protestant churches named St. Andrew's, St. Mark's, St. Stephen's, but very few Protestant churches would be named St. Mary's. And Mary plays a far more important role in biblical accounts than Andrew, Mark, or Stephen, interestingly enough. So what is the baggage that Mennonites have with Mary? Maybe that's what is catching you this morning, or maybe this is what's sticking out to you this morning. That Mary has become, for many, a voice of equality for women. For many women who feel oftentimes on the bottom of society in a very patriarchal culture, Mary brings them up. And indeed, in the Bible, where it's so patriarchal and so much focus on men, Mary has a hard time getting overlooked. And not just that it's Mary, a woman, but that it's a virgin woman. Indeed, Mary becomes a role model for feminist identification. And feminist doesn't mean that women are better than men. It simply calls for equality, that men and women are equal. And so Mary the Virgin has known no man. She is her own person, unexploited. Her identity is not given to her by a male, but it's her gift. It's a gift from God. So I don't think that's probably the first thing that's coming to your minds this morning, but it might be. But that is something that comes out of this text this morning of how we think about Mary. Here's a third point to consider in this text this morning. How is Mary portrayed in other books of the Bible? One of the interesting things in Sunday school class this morning is we were looking at how, what is the difference between in the Luke Christmas story as compared to Matthew or other books of the Bible. And as I was comparing the story in Luke here to other books of the Bible, it was interesting. Mary doesn't really get emphasized in the other books, in the other Gospels. In Mark, her most memorable appearance is that she and her sons come to take Jesus home, thinking that the boy has gone off his rocker. That's in Mark 3:21. And she actually doesn't fare too much better in Matthew either, though she is present at the empty tomb. And John never even mentions her by name. So thank goodness that Luke sees the importance in naming Mary, who is the mother of Jesus. But he doesn't just name her. He really emphasizes a real quality of discipleship that we can see in her life. Mary may be the most Christ-like human being in the story. Her words to the angel cited in this week's text are a direct parallel to what Jesus later prays in the garden. Let it be with me according to your word. In verse 38. Not my will, but yours be done. In both cases, the ideal response to God is presented as a combination of humble trust and obedient service. As we think about following Jesus in daily life here at Whitmer Heights, we can really learn some things of this self-giving up nature of Mary, these open hands. Let it be with me according to your word, not my will, but yours be done. All of these things are things we can take away this morning from what Mary can teach us. And if one of those things has stood out to you, I encourage this week to keep digging into the scripture of what the Holy Spirit may be asking you. But like I said, for me as I read this text, what has really stood out to me is a simple message underneath all of this. And that is that God came into this world through a human being, Mary, as a human, Jesus. Something that I just kind of can easily take for granted when we just hear the story every Christmas. But matter matters to God. See, God could have chosen just to reveal himself through the tabernacle, as it was in the Old Testament, or just through the Holy Spirit, as we see in Acts. And that is an important way that God has revealed himself to us. The Holy Spirit is very important. It's a part of the Trinity. But it easily could just be the whole story. That could be it, that God's Spirit is with us. But that's not it. That's not all of it. This story this morning is the first place where we see that matter matters to God. God is choosing to enter into this world through a material body. God will have a body. If I could write the subtext of what God is saying through this Luke 1 story, if we had God in the background as he was seeing this story being played out on earth, I think this is, might be part of what God is saying. My mission in this world is to bring heaven to earth. I care so much about this material reality, about this wonderful creation that I created. The animals, the trees, the stars, and especially the people. My people. I love this material reality so much that I will even come in the form of material reality. And when I ascend back into heaven, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to empower my people to continue my work on earth, of bringing my kingdom of heaven to earth. And I hope that this material reality may know the love of God. See, one of the beautiful things of the incarnation is that it brings together the Word and the flesh, the spirit and material reality, heaven and earth. And that's really what we see in the beginning of this whole salvation history narrative in Genesis. Spirit and material reality are in perfect relationship with one another. That's what we see in the garden. It's perfect shalom. But through sin, material reality and spirit is broken. They're separated. And the incarnation at its heart says, God in fully human and fully spirit, as one, is the intention of what creation should be. And as I say that line, the intention of what creation should be, I am painfully aware that in the midst of what God desires and what we see in the incarnation, that there is an incredible awareness that they are not one yet, fully, on this earth. Yes, the incarnation shows us what flesh and word can look like together. It shows us that in Jesus, heaven comes to earth. But we also see that we're groaning, creation is groaning for that day, and that it's not fully one yet. And this week, I was just made aware of that so much, as all of us were, I think, when we read some of the news. 126 children killed in Pakistan. Can we even get our head minds around that kind of brutal violence? But not just that, the retribution then. And then the 75 militants that were then killed in retribution. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. May you reveal your love. And I'm also painfully aware that in the city of Lancaster right now, there's been a string of violence. There's a shooting at the McDonald's on North Franklin Street not too long ago. And just days later then, a woman murdered in Lancaster, a gifted school teacher that some of us in this congregation knew. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy on your people. And I'm aware that the recent killing of this school teacher just grips us in a different kind of way, because in many ways, she represents who we are. And I want to be careful to also cry out, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, when the killings in Lancaster are drug-related and gang violence, and they just kind of, we forget about them because it's not who we are. But a 32-year-old school teacher grips us in a different way. But for any kind of killing or violence, may we be just as moved and sick. But anyways, I don't know about you, but when I hear this kind of news, my body almost physically aches when I hear of such things. My body, just like it felt after that long run and my knees were aching, tells me that all is not right in this world yet. Our bodies tell us we don't always have control. Our bodies tell us that in the midst of pain, we still feel hope. Because even when I felt that pain in my knees, I knew that in an hour or so, that was probably going to go away. There's still hope. Deep in our souls and in our bones, we believe that God is still moving in this world. And us gathering together this morning is a sign of that belief. We still believe that God is doing something, that God is with us. And another ways that I saw that belief and that hope that God is still moving in this world was being able to participate with a group of young adults. It's not open to just young adults, but when I was there it was, who gathered to meet at the house of this 32-year-old woman. And we met right outside of her house with the police tape still around at 6:30 in the morning. And this was led by an associate pastor at James Street, Brock. And we said, in the midst of this brokenness, in the midst of this incredible pain that is unimaginable, we can still meet here and pray with a candle. And then we're going to walk around the neighborhood. We're going to walk by that McDonald's. We're going to walk past McCaskey. We're going to walk around the neighborhood for half an hour. And then we're going to meet back at this house. And we're going to pray for this woman. It's Nicole. We're going to pray for her family. We're going to pray for these two young men who now probably face how many years of jail in their life. We're going to pray for this community. We're going to pray against a spirit of fear that we can't get to know our neighbors anymore because we're not sure what they're going to do to us if we're going to be too friendly to them. We're going to pray against that spirit of fear because that is not the spirit of Christ. We're going to pray for a spirit of love and not of fear. And so we walked with our bodies around the neighborhood. And if you want to participate in that walk, it's going to happen for another 25 days. Brock said, let's do this for a month. 30 minutes each morning at 6:30. And they even sent flyers out to the neighborhood explaining what they were doing and said, we are walking as followers of Jesus, but we invite you, even if you are not, we invite you to come and walk with us. And we're going to pray each morning. And it's open to anyone. And so this morning, as we're paying attention to our bodies, when your body aches, remember the aches of the people around you. Remember the pain and brokenness that's being experienced by people. Remember that even Christ's body was broken. And then when your body feels energy and you're alive and you feel strong, remember that the resurrection is the promise that we live into each day. That life is stronger than death in God's dream. Pay attention to the way your body is grieving, rejoicing, hoping, longing. When we think about our body, think about God who came to us in the incarnation. God with us, the Word made flesh. And then ask, I am the part of the body of Christ. What can I do with my body this week that helps to make God's presence, God's love revealed in this world, in this community? There's a song that has touched me this week that we're going to now listen to, and there's art that goes with it. And as we're listening to this song, pay attention to what you're feeling in your body. Maybe you want to use it as a reflective prayer time to think about some of the brokenness in our world right now. So let's continue in that prayerful spirit through this next song. Amen.
One by one the stars appear as the day expires. Evening's balm, peace and calm, gathered round our fires. All across the earth are we bathed in lambent light. Sky so clear, draw us near on this holy night. Come and walk upon the world. We have longed for your presence here. Live in our lives. This is the night of heaven and earth. This is the night of heaven and earth. We carry earthen vessels out across the plain. Come and share our common fare of pleasure and of pain. Now a single star appears and leads us to the place where we await to celebrate heaven's earthly grace. Come and walk upon the world. We have longed for your presence here. Live in our lives. This is the night of heaven and earth. This is the night of heaven and earth. Mother Mary at her labor. In no way of flesh and blood, the baby Jesus crying fills the air. The voice of God. One by one the stars are gone as the day is born. Sky of blue, world made new on this Christmas morn. And all across the earth we go to journey on our way. Find us here, hold us dear on this holy day. Come and walk upon the world. We have longed for your presence here. Live in our lives. This is the night of heaven and earth. This is the night of heaven and earth. This is the night of heaven and earth.